It's the morning show, and this is the State Capitol Report. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. The Evers administration is laying out guidelines for businesses to reopen in Wisconsin. There's general guidance, plus more specifics based on the kind of work: agriculture, construction, entertainment, retail, transportation, and more. The guidance suggests limiting how much employees interact with customers and having all workers wear masks. We're talking about those plans and a lawsuit before the Supreme Court about our state's safer at home order with Democratic Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And if you've got a question for the Lieutenant Governor, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Better yet, send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll see if we can get it answered in this conversation. Mandela Barnes is the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin and a former state representative from Milwaukee. Lieutenant Governor, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Last week, the governor said we should see an end to the safer at home order and Wisconsin slowly opening back up after May 26th. What metrics are you seeing that show we're on the right track?
So, yeah, we are hoping to get things back on track. We are moving in the right direction. And if you look at the Badger bounce back plan, we have met a third of the metrics so far, two of the six, and those being the ones that refer specifically to hospital capacity, which is critical. We could have had an overwhelming of our healthcare system. Fortunately, given the safer at home orders that were in place, we were able to avoid that catastrophe. So that is a good sign for us. And we still have to work hard over the next couple weeks to make sure that we hit the rest of the metrics that are, and these are outlined also on the DHS website. They're on an easy to read red light, green light format. Two lights are green, and we just have to get the next four, and we will be on our merry way.
Yeah, although we are still seeing a rise in positive COVID-19 cases, and especially in certain areas of the state, including Milwaukee, including Green Bay. And we also see pushback from Republicans saying we can't just mandate the whole state, treat them all like they're having this increase in positive cases. So how did these outbreaks factor into the decisions that you're making about what parts of the state and when the state should reopen?
Yeah, and the whole, the Milwaukee piece, I'll start with that. It just trends with the dividing of the state into these regional into these factions, creating regional battles that are unnecessary and unhelpful when we're trying to progress as one. And when it comes to treating the state, it's not like, and I've said this many times before, there's no county line road, there's no municipal boundary that's going to keep the virus out of your community. And so if we were to open up a specific part of the state, quote unquote, before another, what would stop people from flocking to that part of state, potentially those who are infected and don't even know, wreaking havoc on that part of Wisconsin? And especially, it's especially critical in areas that don't have the healthcare capacity to be able to deal with a large outbreak. And yes, while numbers are higher, we still see a smaller percentage as far as the total people who are tested. Our testing capacity went from zero to 85,000 per week. We are testing far more people. There will be more people who test positive just given the sheer number of tests that are now available.
And yet I could see if I had a non-essential business in a more rural part of the state, and that was my livelihood, and I would be willing to take precautions, that it might seem unfair that because of outbreaks in other places that aren't tracking in my area, that I would have to stay closed and I wouldn't be able to get any money coming in. How do you respond to those business owners?
You are absolutely right, and it could seem unfair to a person in that sort of situation, but the problem here is the unknown. It's what we are still trying to figure out. You know, a person may be asymptomatic and feel like, well, I'm not displaying any symptoms. I should be able to go about my regular life. And unknowingly, and if they aren't tested, could be still passing the virus on to other people. This is ultimately about keeping people safe, and it is not easy. We completely recognize this is a challenge for everybody. I don't know many industries that haven't been disrupted. But it's important for us all to understand the need for us to remain safe by continuing to social distance until we can safely lift these restrictions. We don't, again, I can go back to the point where we don't want any of these, any area that is already having trouble when it comes to access to healthcare, access to, you know, hospitals, where that can be a very real challenge, where it's a 45, plus minute drive to a hospital. Then we get to a point where we're looking at loss of life in an area that just didn't, well, no area should have to see it, but unnecessarily, because people decided that, you know, things were safe on their own without the proper guidance or the proper medical expertise that says so.
We have Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes joining us now on the State Capitol Report. And you can ask your question of Barnes at ideas@WPR.org. Send us an email. And we've got John from Madison on the phone now. Hi, John.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. What we need is a scientific medical approach to it. We do not need a Republican approach or a Democratic approach. What really troubles me is there are Republicans in Congress are making the statement, go out and die for the economy. No, it's crazy. It's like saying go out and we might have said go die for the union if we were fighting for World War II. But there are Republicans who are saying die for the economy. We need a robust testing. If you're asymptomatic, you wear a mask or you don't hurt anybody else. If you're not asymptomatic, you wear a mask so you don't get sick. But we do not need Republican or Democrat. We need a scientific medical approach to it.
All right. Sounds like thanks for the call, John. Sounds like John from Madison there, Lieutenant Governor, supports a plan that doesn't just open everything back up. That's not something that wouldn't be something on the table, right? Are Republicans and the Democratic administration trying to work together for using a scientific medical approach for a nonpartisan deal, or are we really at odds here?
Well, we put forward a scientific approach, and unfortunately, they haven't put forward anything besides admonishing our plan with no sort of alternative. And I want to get back to John's point just for one second, because it was a great point about people saying that they're willing to sacrifice lives for the economy. Now, the bigger issue here is the folks who are actually losing their lives and the people who are being affected. Here in Wisconsin, the Black population, Latino population, both make up about 6.5% each. Yet, as a whole, the two groups make up about 50% of the infections in our state, or over 50% of the infections in our state, if I'm not mistaken. Just given the most recent round of numbers, these are the people who are being affected. These are the people who are losing their lives. And it is being ignored, just like in every other instance, when it comes to economics, when it comes to education, so many other social issues that impact Black and brown people in this state and across the country. Yet you have people who say that they are willing to die, but it's not those who are saying that they're willing to die who are becoming infected or losing their lives at the same rate.
Yeah, and what about the circumstances that are up against people who feel like they're in that position? We talked with State Senator Chris Kapinga just moments ago, and we were talking about the idea that employers may, even in essential businesses, and as Wisconsin opens back up, employers may say, your job is ready, we need you here, and individual workers might think, this is risky for me, I'm high risk, or I'm just concerned about this spreading and I don't feel comfortable going back into work. Are there benefits available for people who are in that position, or is it a circumstance where you need to go into work or that's the end of it?
So I can't speak to there being specific benefits just yet, but I can speak to the fact that working people have long been told to sacrifice themselves in pursuit of profits for corporations and large companies, or any company for that matter. People have always put themselves in harm's way because, one, they need to put food on their table, and two, if the job market is scarce or they have health insurance that's tied to a job, they don't want to lose that job because of the risk that they would have to take if they have to go out into the world, figure out finding new employment. So this isn't a new thing, and it's never been a good thing. It's always been unfortunate that this is the way that business has been done, but we're not ready to get back to business as usual at this point in time. And we would ask our employers to please be safe and consider the folks who are working for you, the people who are actually making the profit at your business possible. Without anybody to work at these jobs, businesses go nowhere anyway, even if things were to magically reopen in the next 24 hours.
We've got Mary from Pewaukee who wants to join the conversation. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Yes. Hello, Governor Barnes. And I wanted to just say that the previous caller kind of said some of what I was saying. Let the virus, and as Fauci has also said, let the virus lead the way in our decisions. And I think it seems to me that risk seems to be the bad way to go, risk and finance over health, life, and safety. So, and as far as common sense, Kapinga, I would like to say that there are many people without common sense. I went into a Quick Trip. None of the staff had either protective plastic, you know, between them and the customer. Mm-hmm. None of them were wearing masks.
Mary, I have to jump in here to make sure that Lieutenant Governor Barnes has an opportunity to respond. And that's Mary saying people aren't following social distancing now. And so that is certainly a circumstance that we have to think about when reopening.
Right. Which I would consider an unwritten metric, because there are people, again, that point is made perfectly clear that there are still people who aren't taking this as seriously as they should. Unfortunately, a number of those people who aren't taking it seriously as they should are members of the legislature. And if the public sees members of the legislature not taking it seriously, then they're not going to take it seriously. And we're going to continue to see spread. We could potentially be worse, and we could possibly be worse off. Again, at this point, we've worked hard and diligently to save lives. We've done that effectively. We beat the projected models that show where Wisconsin could have been, saving anywhere from 300 to over 1,000 lives here.
And
right now we're
talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He stays with us about plans to reopen the economy, disagreements over the right way to handle the spread of COVID-19 in Wisconsin. I'm Keeley Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and the conversation continues right here on the Ideas Network. As of tomorrow, it's been 2 months since Wisconsin's governor declared a public health emergency because of COVID-19. He ordered businesses closed and schools to keep kids out of the classroom. And we're working through the spread of the new coronavirus, and leaders in both political parties are eyeing what it really looks like to reopen Wisconsin's economy. That's our focus on the State Capitol Report this morning. I'm Keeley Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and we're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And we also have Steve from Sun Prairie, who's ready to join our conversation. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I did listen to the Supreme Court oral arguments last week, and I thought they were fascinating. One of the questions that Rebecca Bradley was asking is about where is the authority end for the administration? Where, how far can they take it? For example, Lieutenant Governor just talked about certain communities being more at high risk, having more cases. Could he order a quarantine for those populations by having the National Guard come in? Where does it end?
All right. Thanks for the question, Steve. And we should mention it's the Wisconsin Supreme Court is weighing in on a Republican lawmaker's challenge to the Safer at Home order, saying that the Department of Health has overstepped its legal bounds. So, Lieutenant Governor Barnes, what's your response to Steve's question about when the legislature needs to be involved?
Well, the legislature has the ability to change the law, and instead they are trying to use the Supreme Court or the judicial branch as an extended arm of the legislative branch. But I'll get back to the point, too, where you talk about affected populations and quarantining the certain groups. I mean, I think that kind of gets to Justice Bradley's point when she brought up Japanese internment, setting people aside, quarantining them, corralling them based on their ethnicity. And that's never the road that we're going to head down, where we are going to quarantine people based on their race or ethnicity. That's the most dangerous direction, the most dangerous way that we could go about this process. So effectively understanding that we are a state, we are one, and we have to operate as a unit. That is why Safer Home is applies universally.
All right. And let's go to Paul from Hudson now. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, this is Rick. Paul, I have a question for Lieutenant Governor Barnes. I want to know what kind of accountability companies have that, for example, I worked a month ago for a furniture company, and they said they made hospital furniture, which they had not for a year, and there were people right next to each other, and they were getting sick, and I walked out, and I was waiting for unemployment, and I won't get it. And just to end the conversation, I lost a brother at the VA home in Iowa 2 weeks ago. And I just want to know, will there be any accountability for industries that put people's lives in their hand? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Paul, I'm sorry to hear that, and thank you for sharing your story. Lieutenant Governor Barnes.
Yeah, Paul, also sorry to hear about your loss. And I think that those companies that are not being responsible, those should be reported to the Department of Justice.
All right. And how would that work, though? What mechanism has the state put in place to make sure that we are holding companies accountable then?
Yeah, I mean, the same way that you will file any other sort of complaint, be it you have OSHA complaints, but in as far as the state goes, we have complaints that could go with to the Department of Safety Professional Services. And also, again, like I said before, Department of Justice, the Attorney General's office. I can't speak directly to mechanism that they do have in place, but I can get back to you on that one.
Okay, we appreciate that. We are talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes right now. He's joining us on the State Capitol Report to talk about what it looks like to have the state of Wisconsin's economy reopened and the fact that we also have a lawsuit over the Safer at Home order in front of the state Supreme Court. And we have another caller who is ready to talk with us now. Nate from Milwaukee is joining our conversation. Hi, Nate.
Hi, thanks you for getting to me. A long ago caller mentioned the recession might have been coming already, and now with coronavirus, you've got economic disruption and the state government spending more, which basically messes with the state's budget no matter how good our pension plan is. So we should be asking the federal government for help, like happened with the last recession, because if we don't, that is going to hurt our state. I heard McConnell wants to play politics with this, which is despicable, but we should definitely try to get the federal government to help cover costs that we are going to be facing as a state. And what are we going to do with that?
Thanks, Nate. We appreciate the call. And Lieutenant Governor Barnes, then, how is the administration working with the federal government to try to get support for Wisconsin?
Right. I think Nate touched an important point, too, when he talked about McConnell's statement, which were the most disturbing, when he suggested that states should go bankrupt. That's a very irresponsible way to govern. And we are going to work to marshal any resources we can from the federal government. We do need to work in cooperation with the legislature. The legislature needs to work in cooperation with us. I do, however, find it somewhat difficult to work to suspect that the legislature would do that, given the fact that they took so long to act on unemployment legislation, and the state is already out of $25 million from the federal government that will help our unemployment fund. I hope that they understand the severity of the situation, but the evidence shows otherwise. We need them to step up to be leaders so that we can get every possible resource. And Nate mentioned Senator McConnell wanted to play politics. Well, you know, the Republicans control the legislature right now, and this is a time where we need them to step up and lead and understand that they need to work with their party in the federal government to get us the resources that we need to come out of this thing in a positive way.
All right, let's see if we can bring in one more caller while we're talking to the Lieutenant Governor. Troy from Winchester is on the line. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Hey, this is more of a statement than anything. I own two businesses, one in Cedarburg and one in Appleton. Because we actually, we're a gift shop, but we sell alcohol, we're an essential business. So we've been allowed to stay open. So just so everybody knows out there, I think that this, you know, you're going to open up the country and everybody's going to go back to normal. As a business person who's been allowed to stay open, it can't be further from the truth. One of our stores was in the Appleton Mall. We had to move it outside of the mall. We're still riding at about 95% lower on sales. Cedarburg, if you've ever been there, beautiful town, completely a ghost town right now. So we're allowed to be open, but we're open to nobody. So I think that's a big thing that's going to happen when all these companies come back to work, and they're just assuming they're going to come back to their entire audience they had prior to this. It's just not going to happen. You're going to be lucky to get 30% of your sales back initially, and that's probably going to take a couple of years before it's back to normal. And with that said, it scares a small business person like myself, because I have to bring my staff back and pay them, keep up my inventory levels. How am I going to do that?
Yeah. Troy, thank you so much for sharing your experience. And Lieutenant Governor Barnes, as we wrap up, what do you say to Troy, who's a small business owner who's concerned?
That's a perfect point. Reopening doesn't just automatically mean recovery. And that's where, again, it may come to a point where we do need help from the federal government, as we did 10, 11 years ago with the Great Recession. And what was mentioned before earlier, too, is that we were likely on the brink of a recession already. This just made things extremely worse. That is why responsibility matters. That is why leadership matters. And that's why coming up with solutions to this issue in a nonpartisan way. I mean, we can talk about bipartisan. This has to be a nonpartisan approach to make sure that communities are made whole again, to make sure people can go back to their jobs, to make sure that our small business community can still thrive. One of my biggest concerns now at this point, too, is that the larger businesses have such an advantage, the Amazons, the Walmarts, Targets, and we have to be sure that we're back in the business of promoting our small business community across the state of Wisconsin.
Lieutenant Governor Barnes, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Mandela Barnes is Wisconsin's lieutenant governor. Earlier in the state capitol report, we heard from Republican State Senator Chris Kapinga. Both talked about COVID-19 in Wisconsin and the health and economic factors that leaders are weighing in this pandemic. And a clarification in this conversation, the State Department of Workforce Development answers the question, if I impose a self-quarantine because of the coronavirus, will I be eligible for unemployment benefits? And the answer is, in most cases, no. That's also true when it comes to being ill of the coronavirus and unable to work, being eligible for those unemployment benefits. We put a link to those frequently asked questions on our website, so you can go ahead and just visit WPR.org/mornings to find more information about that and other topics as we cover it. And again, as the impact of it grows in Wisconsin, you can ask us your questions about the disease at our website. This is the State Capitol Report, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.